भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती युक्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर नंबर 4 वर्स नंबर 13 एंड 14। ते देवानुचरा दृष्ट्वा स्त्रियः श्रीरिवरूपिणः गन्धेन मुमुहुस्तासाम् रूपौदार्यहतः श्रियः। ते देवानुचरा दृष्ट्वा स्त्रियः श्रीरिवरूपिणः गन्धेन मुमुहुस्तासाम् रूपौदार्यहतः श्रियः। ते देवानुचरा दृष्ट्वा स्त्रियः श्रीरिवरूपिणः गन्धेन मुमुहुस्तासाम् रूपौदार्यहतः श्रियः। ते देवानुचरा दृष्ट्वा स्त्रियः श्रीरिवरूपिणः गन्धेन मुमुहुस्तासाम् रूपौदार्यहतः श्रियः। ते देवानुचरा दृष्ट्वा गन्धेन मुमुहुस्तासाम् रूपौदार्यहतः श्रियः। माताजीस, ते दे देव अनुचराः द फॉलोअर्स ऑफ द डेमिगॉड्स दृष्ट्वा सीइंग स्त्रियः दीज वुमेन श्रीः द गॉडेस ऑफ फॉर्चून इव एज इफ रूपिणः इन पर्सन गंधेन by the fragrance mumuhu they became bewildered tasam of the women rupa of the beauty audarya by the magnificence hata ruined shriyah their opulence। Translation: when the followers of the demigods gazed upon the fascinating mystic beauty of the women created by Nar Narayan Rishi and smelled the fragrance of their bodies, the minds of these followers became bewildered. Indeed, upon seeing the beauty and magnificence of such women, the representatives of the demigods were completely diminished in their own opulence. There's no purport, so we are reading text number 14. Tanaha deva devesah pranatan prahasanniva asamekatamam pindham savarnam swargabhushanam. The Supreme Lord of Lords then smiled slightly and told the representatives of heaven who were bowing down before him, please choose one of these women, whomever you find suitable for you, she will become the ornament of the heavenly planets. Nar Narayan Rishi was almost laughing upon seeing the defeat of the demigods. However, being extremely grave, he did not actually laugh. Although the demigods might have thought, we are simply low-class fools in comparison to these women, the Lord encouraged them to choose one of the women, whomever they consider equal in character to themselves. The beauty thus selected would become the ornament of the heaven.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Tina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesh Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So in this chapter, the conversation between Maharaj Nimi and the Navayogendras continues. And now, Drumila Rishi is speaking in response to Maharaj Nimi's request, who requested Drumila Rishi to explain about the incarnations of the Supreme Lord, the pastimes they have performed in the pastimes they are performing now, and the pastimes that they are going to perform in the future. So he wants to know everything. In response to his request, actually Drumila Rishi feels himself unqualified. And he tells Maharaj Nimi that if somebody thinks that he can do justice to this seva, the service, to completely glorify the Supreme Lord, then he is a foolish person. Because the glories of the Supreme Lord are countless. Even if there is some genius on this planet, he says, who can count all the dust particles on this planet, still he won't be able to count the glories of the Supreme Lord. Because by the time somebody thinks that he has understood Krishna's glories, by that time the glories increase. Even Krishna cannot understand himself. Therefore he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So even a great personality as Brahma, he cannot understand. We have material bodies which are made of earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. And we have one brain. And that too is especially because of the influence of the age of Kali Yuga, it's not stable. We cannot even understand everything about matter. We cannot even understand what is going on in the heart of the person sitting next to us. So therefore, it is almost impossible to understand Krishna with our own efforts. Even Brahma, who is the highest living entity, his entire body is made up of intelligence. Over and above that, he has four heads. That means, he has four brains, we can say. Highly intelligent and extremely powerful, so elevated. But still, with all his intelligence, all his powers, all his influence over the universe, he is unable to understand Krishna. If somebody thinks that he can understand Krishna by studying scriptures, by acquiring all the knowledge from the scriptures, then Lord Brahma is the example to remember. Because he is the first recipient of all the Vedic knowledge. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adikave. He is the first recipient. See, all the Vedas, Puranas, Itihasas, everything that we know comes from Lord Brahma. So he possesses all the knowledge, still he cannot understand with all this knowledge Krishna. So therefore it is almost impossible for us to understand Krishna through jnana or just by studying scriptures. The only possibility is when Krishna tries to reveal himself, when he wants to reveal himself. And that is the best way. When he wants to reveal, there will be no impediment. So therefore, material qualifications are not the criteria to understand Krishna, to understand God. Because even Ravana was very intelligent, extremely powerful, influential, very wealthy. Still, he could not understand Krishna because he was a sinful person. Therefore, when the Lord reveals himself, then only a devotee can, and only a devotee can understand. He will only reveal himself to a devotee. Like recently, in one program, there was one very intelligent looking person and quite affluent. And after this was a talk on introduction to Gita. And after the talk, he came up. And he said, I'm confused about one thing. I have no doubt that Gita was spoken. But I cannot understand how, when all the conch shells have been blown and they are ready to fight, still how come in the middle of the battlefield they all stopped and Krishna spoke Gita? I said, it was just 45 minutes to 1 hour. That's what we have heard from devotees. He said, but still 45 minutes. Then I told him, see, it's not that Arjuna was bewildered. Krishna put him into that state because Krishna wanted to speak Gita. So the Lord has a will, he has a plan, and it will be executed. There will be no impediment. And he started speaking, no, don't bring a spiritual angle to this. I said, how do you explain it then? So he couldn't figure this out. Although materially very powerful, intelligent, and he could not believe this. He said, don't give it a spiritual angle. So these are not the qualifications to understand God. But only through devotional service he reveals himself. So Drumila Rishi, in great humility, he actually is making an attempt, he says, a feeble attempt to glorify Krishna. The different incarnations. And in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a verse, 1.5.11, which is a source of inspiration for all the devotees. Because one side is we cannot completely glorify Krishna, but still these glorifications are needed. There's a verse, Tadvag visargo janataga viploho yasmin prati shlokam avadvatyapi. Namani anantasya yashvankitani yashrinavanti gayanti grinanti sadhavaha. Even though we may not be qualified, still such descriptions are needed. So this shows, the translation means, on the other hand, that literature which is full with descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, form and pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a transcendental creation meant to bring about a revolution in the impious life of a misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though irregularly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, he says, we know that our honest attempt to present this great literature conveying transcendental messages for reviving the God consciousness of the people in general and re-spiritualizing the world atmosphere is fraught with many difficulties. Our presenting this matter in adequate language, especially a foreign language, will certainly fail. And there will be so many literary discrepancies despite our honest attempt to present it in the proper way. But we are sure that with all our faults in this connection, the seriousness of the subject matter will be taken into consideration. And the leaders of the society will still accept this due to its being an honest attempt to glorify the Almighty Lord. When there is fire in a house, the inmates of the house go out to get help from the neighbors who may be foreigners. And yet, without knowing the language, the victims of the fire express themselves. And the neighbors understand the need, even though not expressed in the same language. The same spirit of cooperation is needed to broadcast this transcendental message of the Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the polluted atmosphere of the world. And this verse is our hope. This is our only hope, that even our feeble attempts are considered a great success by Krishna. One of the 64 primary qualities of Krishna is nimish animish. Nimish means one who blinks his eyes. And animish means one who doesn't. So somebody asked him, why do you blink and sometimes you don't blink? He says, when my devotee commits some mistake accidentally, then I blink my eyes. I overlook all his mistakes. And animish, never blinks his eye, means when my devotee does even a little seva, I open my eyes wide. I magnify the service done. So therefore, even though our efforts may be fraught with many faults, as Srila Prabhupada writes, but still, as Krishna says in the Gita, Yoga Kshemam Vahamiham, I provide what you lack and I preserve what you already have. So these are the things which are our only hope. On our own we are not capable. But if we just think like this, then we'll go into depression. And the other side of the picture is, but Krishna is great. We are nothing, but Krishna is great. He is magnanimous. Therefore, whatever little efforts we make in his service, Krishna accepts them as something very significant. So Drumila Rishi begins to explain the different incarnations of the Lord. He begins by describing the particular incarnation of Narnarayan Rishi. In the Gita, Krishna mentions that both he and Arjuna had passed many lifetimes together, but only Krishna remembered, but Arjuna did not. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport that, see, Arjuna cannot remember because he changes bodies, he's a living entity. But Krishna's body is eternal, he never changes his body, so he remembers everything. He just uses this logic to establish Krishna's position again. So this is one of those lifetimes where Krishna and Arjuna are together, Narayan Rishi. So every incarnation of the Lord that comes to this material world, it has a specific mission. And the incarnation will never act beyond that mission. For example, Lord Narsingadev came specifically to kill Hiranyakashipu. We don't see him performing pastimes like Krishna or Rama. Lord Ram specifically appeared to convey a certain message and set an example of an ideal husband, ideal ruler, ideal brother, ideal friend, to set the maryada. So Maryada Purushottam Lord Ram is known as. Krishna appeared, he broke all the maryada, because his purpose was to establish his supremacy, that he is the supreme source of everything, including Rama and Narsingha also. So Krishna is known as Lila Purushottam, yes. So Ram is known as Maryada Purushottam and Krishna is known as Lila Purushottam. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he is known as Prema Purushottam. He specifically appeared to distribute love for God. So every incarnation has a specific purpose. Like the deity form of the Lord is also an incarnation. It is called Archa Avatar or the Archa incarnation. And the specific reason why the Lord appears in this form is just one: to accept the worship or the archana from his devotees. In this form, the Lord doesn't appear to show his potencies, his powers. He just appears to accept the seva from his devotees, and in that way he puts himself under the care of his devotees. And this is how we get connected to this particular incarnation. So every incarnation has a mission, has a message. And whatever activities that they perform, they're not performed by chance or by accident. Like when we perform certain activities, sometimes we think, why did I do this? Why did I do that? Why did I say this? But Krishna doesn't have to think, why did I do this? I shouldn't have done this, because he's perfect. Naturally, because he's free from all faults, so his activities are also free from all faults. He just does things and they are perfect. He kills somebody, the person gets liberated. He protects somebody, the person gets liberated. Both ways, because he is perfect. So this particular incarnation of the Lord, Narayan Rishi, specifically appeared to preach the philosophy of Naishkarmyam. That means cessation of material work and complete engagement in devotional service. And they are setting an example, performing austerities throughout, engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. They have no other mission. And they are still living, it is mentioned, in Badrika Ashram, being worshipped by the great sages. So, the deity form is also an eternal form, as much as all these incarnations. Once Jananivas Prabhu mentioned that, the same thing, that the deity form of the Lord is an eternal form of the Lord. It is an avatar. That means, just like all the other avatars, they are present somewhere, then they descend. Then they unmanifest themselves out of their sweet will. Similarly, the deities are eternal. They will manifest because of the call of some devotee, then they will unmanifest the particular forms we see. The particular deity form that we see, we must know that it must have been worshipped in some in previous yugas or some by some devotees. Then they disappear and then they appear. So therefore, if you go and ask the sculptor, can you make exactly two similar deities, he will say no, because it is not in his hands. He can just remove the extra marble. And the Lord manifests his particular eternal form as a deity. So, Narayan and Rishi, they are performing tapasya. and they have nothing else to do. They don't have anything to do with material things. And once in Brahmachari class, Shyamanandpuru was mentioning that somehow Lord Indra has got some alarm system in his heavenly planets. Whenever any person starts performing tapasya in any part of the creation, any part of the universe, the alarm starts ringing. He comes to know. And he starts thinking, this person is performing tapasya to become powerful so that he can take away my throne. So this is because of attachment to material things. He becomes fearful because there is attachment. So attachment to material things is always accompanied by fear. Whereas attachment to spiritual things, it grants fearlessness because they are eternal. This is the natural byproduct. Material things means fear. Therefore, the entire existence is filled with fear. So people want to know about their past and they are fearful about their future. So an attached person will always think, will always try to impose his consciousness on the other person. He thinks that everybody is after him to get whatever he has. And that's how whenever somebody performs austerities, Indra becomes scared. And he tries to create some impediment. But spiritual life is completely different. In material world, if we want to get to the top, we have to step over somebody's head. And if we want to be at the top, somebody has to be at the bottom. But in spiritual life, everybody can be at the top. Like in 90s, before I came to Krishna consciousness, there was a movie which we saw during our school days. And the name of the movie was Krishna. Coincidence. And the hero has to get into a particular gang as a spy to destroy that gang. So when he goes in front of the gangster, the gangster wants to first test him whether he is really capable of joining the gang. So then he takes some chalk powder and he draws one line on the table. And he tells the hero that without touching this line which I've drawn, make it smaller. So everybody is thinking, how will he do it? So what does he do? He takes some more chalk powder in his hand, the hero, and he draws another line next to this line, and which is longer, bigger than this one. Automatically, now this line is smaller. So without even touching the line drawn by the gang leader, the line has been made smaller. This is spiritual life, that even without, we get distracted many times by what others are doing, how much progress they are making, how much he is achieving. But if we just simply try to focus on our own spiritual growth, then we can grow. Without even touching us, we don't need to get distracted. We just have to be focused upon our own growth. And whatever we focus upon will expand. If we focus upon negativity, it expands into our life. If we focus on positivity, it expands. Simple. So, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj once he mentioned a very powerful statement. That specifically when a person is attached, it is followed by fear, as we discussed, and then the person gets into that competitive mode. He tries to compete with everybody, as you see in the example of Indra and Maharaj Prithu. Prithu Maharaj is not bothered at all about attaining the heavenly planet. He's just performing his duties, performing Ashwamedh yagyas. Indra somehow thinks that he cannot cross 99. He becomes competitive. So material attachments also lead to competitive spirit. Our consciousness becomes material, then we become competitive. So Maharaj says that we can actually never make spiritual advancement by trying to surpass someone. We can make spiritual advancement only by becoming that person's humble servant. So we decide what is our priority, whether we want to be a humble servant or we want to surpass everybody. The results will be opposite. So competitive attitude, fear, greed, it all springs from material attachments. That means selfishness. So Lord Indra, he has so much, still he's fearful because of attachments. He's attached to whatever he's got. And he thinks everybody is like him. Everybody is after his opulences. But the way Krishna deals with him throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a common theme, is actually exemplary. Even in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we see few examples. The way Krishna deals with these people so maturely. So one thing we learn from these past times is that Krishna humbles without humiliating. He definitely doesn't like pride in somebody's heart. So he wants to humble, especially those who are close to him, those who are doing service to him. But he will humble them without humiliating them. In this material world, when people try to humble others, generally, it is not humility. When we say the person has become humble because of whatever reason, it is humiliation. And the result is that the person ends up getting depressed, discouraged, not inspired anymore. So we can actually judge by the result whether we have made a person actually humble or we have humiliated him. Humility is the great strength, it's not a weakness. So when a person actually becomes humble, he becomes million times inspired to serve. But depression takes him away of everything. So we see in the Govardhan Leela, Indra did so much. But when Indra is coming down to beg forgiveness, Krishna goes to a secluded place because he did not want everybody to see the great ruler of the universe coming down bowing in front of Krishna. He didn't want Indra to be laughed at by the Brajavasis. So he protected his honor. Even in Brahma Vimohan Leela, when Brahma realizes his mistake, Krishna leaves his cowherd boyfriends and he goes to a secluded place where Brahma offers him prayers. He bows down with his foreheads, touches his helmets to Krishna's lotus feet, and Krishna accepts his prayers. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, Keshav Kashmiri, when he enters Navadvip, all the scholars of Navadvip, they were scared because the reputation of Navadvip was at stake. And they devised a plan. Let Nimaya Pandit debate with him first. Because if he defeats him, we can say even a child of Navadvip defeated Digvijay Pandit, the famous world champion. But if he defeats Nimaya Pandit, then we'll have another chance at least to save our reputation. So when Keshav Kashmiri comes, enters Navadvip, and Nimaya Pandit, he comes to know. So he starts thinking within his heart, mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that how do I take care of this person? He's extremely proud, but if I crush his pride, he will no longer live. So he devises a plan. So when the Keshav Kashmiri arrives, Nimaya Pandit tells him to compose something in glorification of Mother Ganga, which he does. 3 hours without stop, he speaks. 3 hours verses in glorification of Ganga, which he was composing on the spot. And Nimaya Pandit then pointed out certain faults, and then Keshav Kashmiri is trying to argue back back and forth, and then finally he could not speak any longer. And the students of Nimaya Pandit, they started laughing, as in making fun of Keshav Kashmiri. And Nimaya Pandit immediately told them to keep quiet, stop them. So the Lord protected his honor, humbled him also, crushed his pride without dishonoring him. So this is Krishna's way of dealing with things, that he will humble others but without humiliating. Second way Krishna deals with such incidents is, generally in this world, when people want to humble somebody, they do so by taking things or facilities away from the person. Maybe his service, his facility, or whatever he holds dear to his heart. And then people say he's been humbled. So that's again humiliation. Krishna, even though Indra has committed so many mistakes throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, he definitely chastises. He definitely scolds him, but he never takes away his service, however many mistakes he does. So Krishna humbles. In fact, he gives him more. Like in this case, Narnarayan Rishi, Indra sends the Cupid and the Apsaras to spoil the austerities performed by the two sages. But instead, the Lord gives him Urvashi, who became the ornament of the heavenly planet, who was million times more beautiful than any Apsara present on the heavenly planets. Or in the pre-sannyas Leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Nimaya Pandit, when he was getting married, so there is a custom where he was distributing gifts to the guests, the people who were attending the marriage. Some of them were actually cheating. They were taking the gift, then they would hide it, they would come back again and stand in the line and again take the gift. So the Lord could detect this. And so he didn't start shouting, he didn't start scolding them. He actually rectified the situation in a very exemplary way. He said, "All right, I will give everyone 3 times. So as soon as these cheaters, they heard it, those who were cheating, they were immediately humbled by seeing the Lord's magnanimity. That the Lord is willing to give so much, and we were trying to cheat. We were not honest. So this is how Krishna actually humbles. One is without humiliating, secondly by giving more. Because that, when that is done, even if a person has committed a mistake, the person voluntarily takes a humble position and he becomes inspired to serve million times. So the Lord shows that love is greater than force. In fact, love is a greater force than the force itself. So he humbles without humiliating. He also humbles others by giving them more. So automatically people, they feel embarrassed and they feel the Lord has done so much for us, so let us just reciprocate. So similarly, the pure devotees of the Lord, like we have many examples from the life of Srila Prabhupada, because pure devotee of the Lord and Krishna himself, they are the only people who can actually do this service perfectly, because they are free from faults. So they can actually humble without humiliating. They can also give. They can also understand what is needed for a person to become humble and inspired at the same time in Krishna service. Srila Prabhupada, many disciples mentioned this, that whenever Srila Prabhupada would say some inspiring words, we would get inspired million times to dedicate our lives further in his mission. And whenever he would chastise, the result would be same. we would be inspired to serve a million times and rededicate ourselves to the mission. This is like in the early 80s or 90s, there used to be some toys. Some toys had chocolate inside and rubber outside. And some toys were only made of chocolate inside and outside. So our position is like that. We are rubber outside, but the pure spirit, the pure nature is still hidden. But the Lord is like, what is inside is outside. Similarly, the pure devotees. So if you hit somebody with this toy which has rubber outside, the person will get hurt. At the same time, will not get the chocolate if he eats. And if you hit somebody with a chocolate toy, even if the person gets hurt, he still ends up getting the chocolate. So this is how, I mean, it's a crude example. We don't eat chocolates, but just to drive home this point, that Krishna and his pure devotees, they are all love. So their chastisement and their reward, both are the same. Everybody present on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, whoever died, they got liberated because of Krishna's presence. So you can't help it. Even if Krishna wants to reward someone, the person gets liberated. When the Lord wants to punish someone, he gets liberated. This is the special nature of Krishna. So, similarly, are his pure devotees. And it's not that Krishna will always give. Those devotees who are extremely elevated, he might take away things also, if that is what is needed for his service. Like in the case of Srila Prabhupada, the famous example of Bali Maharaj. But in case of pure devotees, when Krishna does this, it is only to convey some message through them and also for their future glorification. Apparently, Krishna took away everything from Bali Maharaj. That's what the world knows. And if you go outside, they will tell you this king was driven to the hellish planets. They don't know the other side, that planet Sutal Loka was even more opulent than Indra Loka. And Krishna personally became his doorkeeper forever. So even when Ravana came to conquer Sutala Loka, actually Vamandev kicked him. And he could not conquer Sutala Loka. And he flew away. So whatever Krishna does is good. Whether he kills, whether he gives, whether he takes away. And similarly his pure devotees, because they are all perfect. Whatever they do, it is for our own benefit. And therefore, we are in the safest hands, Krishna and his devotees. In the Gita, Krishna says, Ananyas chintayantum am ye janaha paryupasate tesham nitya bhyuktanam yogakshemam vahamiham. If somebody worships me with undivided attention, then I supply what they lack and I protect what they have. So we are in the safest position because we may not know what we need and what we don't need, but Krishna knows, Guru knows, devotees know. And therefore we just have to be completely dependent on them and let them take control of our lives. And then we'll be happy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.